You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK.
The Punt, William Hill's top flight football podcast.
Welcome back. Good to have you with us. The latest edition of the Punt podcast coming to you live from Leeds in the United Kingdom. Dave Kellner here alongside Mr. Lee Phelps. Lee, how are you doing?
I'm good, thank you. I was unsure as to where I was, so that's helped me enormously.
I'm just filling the listeners in because we know we've got some listeners listening abroad. Just putting them in the picture.
We get quite a lot of interaction with listeners abroad, don't we?
We do. Derek McGovern coming from another land as well. Good morning, Derek.
Scoutland. Yes, I'm here.
Just your own world. The land where Everton are going to win the Premier League next year. Cloud Land.
I'm just happy to be back and invited back on the podcast because...
Who invited you?
He just came in. Mark sat outside crying into his hat.
You landed a 14-1. You're not allowed to do that without me on the podcast.
Fantastic. Yeah. It looked a good thing, even though Lee was adding input. It did look a good thing from the moment it left our gobs.
I think it was one of the easiest weekends of football betting for a long time. I mean, there was a lot of Favs won all over the place, all over Europe as well. So I think the bookies got a bit of a chinning last week.
They did. And incidentally, you know, I was talking about, I really fancied Reading last week against West Brom at home, at home. And I've just been looking at, I really like the look of Reading this year. They've got Crystal Palace in the quarter-final at home. Now, you know, and then in the semi-finals on neutral ground, the lineup isn't great. Arsenal could yet go out. Chelsea could go out against Everton. And Reading are 16-1 to make the final. That looks a big price to me, that. Mm. I mean, what would it be to qualify against Palace? 7-4 to qualify?
Yep. And something like that.
You know, and then they're on neutral ground, and you need to be 3-1 and 3-1 for 16-1 to be a realistic price. They ain't going to be 3-1 and 3-1, I don't think. I think that's a marvellous price, Reading. It really is. Get on, lads.
Are you going to do an FA Cup podcast every single week as well now, then, Derek?
I've got the bit between
the
teeth now.
As well.
it was just like easy pickings. Lee was right, easy pickings last week. And that Everton at Bournemouth, I was the best of all time, that one.
And to be fair, we're not going to go on all week, all podcast about this, but the more I thought about that Chelsea game,
you're right.
It was like one of the easiest games to predict I think we've ever had. Just from what the manager's told you about, you know, the manager was so open.
We didn't know that he was going to put like the Bugsy Malone 11 in, did we? I mean, it was, you know, we expected a better team than he fielded.
True, yeah, maybe.
Shall we get stuck into this week?
Yeah, why not?
Capital One Cup final first up, the big game this weekend, Liverpool versus Manchester City. Liverpool 21-10 to win the game, the draw 23-10, and Manchester City 13-10. Those are the 90-minute prices. To lift the trophy, Liverpool 5-4, Manchester City 8-13. Enhanced odds, Daniel Sturridge to score and Liverpool to win in 90 minutes, 5-1. Sergio Aguero to score and Man City to win in 90 minutes in the betting at 3-1. First final in any competition contested between the two teams, this one, Derek.
Yeah.
Liverpool have got a good record in the League Cup as well. This is the 13th time they'll contest a League Cup final, which is a record in the competition. And this is the 12th. Of the previous 11, they've lifted the trophy 8 times. So good record in this competition, Liverpool. I think City are good things, though, here, Derek.
Well, yeah, referring to Liverpool's good record, that was when they had a good team. This isn't a good team, is it? And you're right, City are fantastic bets at 13-10. I didn't expect them to be. Honestly, I know it's neutral territory, but I did not expect them to be as big as 13-10. I thought 11-10 was the best you could hope for, I'd have thought. I think it's a major price. And the reason I'm saying that is that, okay, forget what happened against Chelsea in the Cup last week. You know, we said that they played the kids and they got the smashing they deserved. But there was a lot to like about what they did in Europe a few days later, wasn't it, in that Kiev game?
Yes.
You could argue that Kiev, you know, ring rusty, but many other sides have had a winter break from Eastern Europe and come back flying. And City never give them a prayer. It was a marvellous performance, and it just shows you what they can do when they've got the bit between their teeth. And I think they'll have it this weekend. 13-10, I really can't see that last until kick-off time.
No, I can't either. 13-10 Manchester City to win this in 90 minutes. When Yaya Toure and Sergio Aguero are on song, Lee, with Yaya Toure moving just into that slot behind Aguero as well, that's affected City positively. And we saw that in Europe. That was the best performance they've put in all season in that game in Kiev midweek.
Yeah, they did save the best till last, didn't they? And justified what they did in the Cup. We had a bit of a, I wouldn't say an argument, more of a slight
discussion.
Yeah, a discussion about whether it was right to do that. And for once, and probably the only time I've ever said it, I thought it was the right thing for City to do. You know, Chelsea proved last season that going out of the FA Cup isn't the end of the world if you've got bigger fish to fry. I don't think many teams can win the FA Cup, the Champions League, the Premier League and the League Cup in one season. You know, I think it's nigh on impossible in this day and age. So I think City kind of did the right thing. And it kind of worked for them, didn't it? They get through the European tie in a commanding fashion, as you said. Key players performed well again and they go into this absolutely flying. It's just so hard to predict what Liverpool are going to do from one game to the next. They smash Aston Villa to bits 6-0. They get a 0-0 draw away in Germany, and then they get the 1-0 win at home, edged past them to a certain extent. If Man City are on song, I don't think Liverpool can match them for goals. You know, if Coutinho and Sturridge are playing and they go about their business like in an attacking fashion, this could be a classic. It could be a really interesting cup final. I tend to agree with you guys. I think that they probably will win the game, and I think 13-10 is a decent price at the minute. But you know, for not a lot shorter, I'll take that Man Aguero anytime at 5-4. I know it's a shorter price, but I think, you know, he's a top player who loves the big occasion. You know, you said in the podcast midweek, you know, on any patch of grass in the world. Well, this is a really special patch of grass, isn't it?
Yeah.
And a player like him playing at Wembley, I think, you know, it's something that he'll rise to. And I don't think the Liverpool defence is strong enough to cope with him. I mean, to be fair, they've kept three successive clean sheets now with that Villa and the two-legged affair against Augsburg. Before that, you know, they weren't keeping many clean sheets. They had the FA Cup 0-0 against West Ham. The clean sheet against Exeter. One against Stoke in the League Cup. But I'm going back here to, you know, last year now. So I'm going to play for... I like the Aguero to score and City to win at 3-1, that enhanced odds.
That's nice.
It does look nice. But it's one of those where you think, God, that looks too good to be true. And when it lands, you go, that was 3-1.
Yeah.
And everyone goes, yeah, did you get on the enhanced odds offer? So I would play that. But for safety's sake, I'm just going to sit back, enjoy Aguero's performance, and when he scores, I'll just get the cigar on and watch the rest of the match in comfort.
The reason it looks a big price is that, I mean, if Aguero does score, it's automatically 1-0 for, you know, theoretically 1-0 to City, and you just can't see Liverpool scoring two goals against them the way Liverpool just don't score enough goals. And so basically, if Aguero scores, he's only 5-4 to score. In my eyes, you're getting 3-1 for a 5-4 poke.
Yeah, I think that's a great bet. 3-1 Aguero to score, Man City to win in 90. And just to go back to something Lee said there, Derek, about Liverpool keeping those three consecutive clean sheets.
Whoopie-doo, Aston Villa and Augsburg.
Well, precisely. Yeah, precisely. Yeah. And that game on Thursday night against Augsburg, Derek, I watched the full 90 minutes and they were clinging on at the end, really.
Yeah, well, it had all the hallmarks of a Liverpool cock-up in the last 20 minutes. I fully expected out of the Germans to go up and score. And they did look vulnerable, Liverpool. And, you know, they're looking vulnerable to a bog-standard Bundesliga side. And now they're meeting City, who look as though they've got, a second wind. It's a no-brainer, this game.
Let's get stuck into the Premier League fixtures this weekend. Then we'll start with West Ham versus Sunderland, which is the televised game, 12:45 on Saturday. West Ham 5-6, odds on to win this game. The draw 13-5. Sunderland in the market at 16-5. Enhanced odds, Dimitri Payet to score and West Ham to win is in the betting at 3-1. Jermaine Defoe to score and Sunderland to win in the market at 8-1. West Ham have now gone 10 unbeaten at home in the Premier League, winning 5 and drawing 5. And the added spice of Sam Allardyce returning to West Ham makes this a game that should be entertaining to watch. Sunderland obviously scrapping for their lives at the bottom of the table, but they've had a couple of good results back-to-back with that draw against Liverpool when they came from 2 down and then beating Manchester United at Old Trafford 2-1. West Ham odds on to win this game at 5-6, Lee.
Yeah, never overly happy about backing West Ham at any kind of odds on because they're not the most reliable team in the world. Having said that, you know, it's harsh to criticise them this season. You know, obviously, the sat in seventh position, level on points to Southampton, just a point off Man United. And then there's that 6-point gap up to the top four. So, you know, who's to say they won't be the one who's jostling around for that Europa League place if they want it. And that's it's a big if, isn't it? You look at Sunderland, as we know, their away form isn't what's going to keep them up, despite getting that point at Liverpool. I tend to think that they benefited from a strange set of circumstances. In fact, Sunderland tend to benefit from strange sets of circumstances against Liverpool, don't they? The beach ball, all the fans walk out on 77 minutes, and they're always the ones to kind of benefit from it when Liverpool are having issues. I don't think they would have got a draw if all the fans had stayed in and the atmosphere hadn't changed. Followed it up, though, with that 2-1 win against Man United. I think the home form is what will keep Sunderland up, not the away form. The win against Swansea, when they won 4-2, and a win at Palace are the only two wins this season. And in fact, there have only been two draws as well. They do score goals. You know, you have to go back to the 1-0 loss to West Brom, 17th of October, the last time they failed to score away from home. And that includes scoring a goal at Man City and at Chelsea, 2 at Liverpool, 1 at Tottenham. You know, some good teams there. 1 at Arsenal, 2 at Everton. So, you know, they've found the scoring boots away from home. And that's where I'm going here. West Ham, solid at home. You know, obviously the FA Cup game was the last time they played at home, so the fans will have good memories of that special night, as people are calling it, the extra time win over Liverpool in the FA Cup. And they're strong. You know, last time they lost was the 4-3 defeat to Bournemouth, and that was way back at the end of August. West Ham will win this game. 5-6 isn't quite good enough for me, but 3-1 is. West Ham to win, both teams to score. Done.
West Ham 3-1 match result and both teams to score. Mm-hmm. I do like the look of the enhanced odds again here. Dimitri Payet to score and West Ham to win 3-1. He's been sensational this season. If you're looking for another scorer as well, maybe have a look at Mikel Antonio. He is 11-5 to score any time. He's got 4 in his last 6 home games for the Hammers. Derek, your thoughts?
That said, I mean, yeah, fair enough. But didn't he deputise at right back last time, Antonio, last time in the cup match?
He was actually, yeah.
Did he play in right? I didn't realise that.
They're right backs, didn't they? So he played there for
They are still in trouble at right back. He might well play there again, which is why, in fact, I was about to say Van Aanholt for Sunderland might be worth a squeak to score at any time. He likes getting forward. He could take advantage of inexperience if the guy does play right back, Antonio. He's 13-2 to score at any time, so there's one to keep on the side of. Evidently, he says he's right here, you know. Sentences I'd never thought would come out of my gob, but there it is.
You're saying it more and more these days, haven't you?
Yeah. They've only lost 6 games in the league, West Ham this season. That's one fewer than Man City. They haven't lost in the Cup, obviously, otherwise they wouldn't be in the quarter-final. They're just a worry when backing them are odds on that. You know, is the cup uppermost in their mind now? You know, they're in a decent position in the league. They ain't going to be pulling up any trees above them. No danger of going slumping down anywhere. And they've got a match against Man United in the quarter final. That's winnable. There is that worry, just a worry. That said, 5-6, I think, is a little bit of value. If you forget that cup reservation, I think it's a shade of value here to beat Sunderland, who've lost an awful lot of games this season, 15 games, and they've conceded 50 goals in 26 games, almost 2 a game, and that's against teams West and West Ham. If they have scored goals, 32, that's only one fewer than Man United, so Lee is correct. I like the look, what he's just gone for. Both teams to score and West Ham to win at 3-1. I like the look of that one, too.
I don't like this. I feel like the world's spinning off its axis here.
I know, we agree.
But when you land, what is it, 4 naps out of 5 weeks?
How long have I been away for?
I learned football while you're away, but not betting. I forgot to learn the betting. I think Derek's right though about that, the cup thing. I mean, the fact that he keeps saying about how more important it is to, you know, win the cup than it is to finish in the top four. I think if West Ham are away and you're wondering whether to back them, I think there are times when the West Ham players might not be 100% committed. But I think at home in front of their own fans, you should be able to rely on them, Derek, shouldn't you?
Yeah. They haven't done too many mistakes at home this season. No.
Both Derek and Lee going for West Ham to win, both teams to score in the game at 3-1. On to the tea time fixture on Saturday, West Brom versus Crystal Palace. West Brom 8-5, draw 2-1, Crystal Palace 19-10. Enhanced odds, Salomon Rondon to score and West Brom to win is 5-1. Emmanuel Adebayor to score and Crystal Palace to win in the betting at 6-1. Both these teams on 32 points in the table, Derek, and both sliding down the Premier League quickly. Every single week we seem to say there's one game on the coupon that looks like a 0-0.
Yeah.
This is it, I think.
Yeah, it is. You're dead right. I mean, you know, 6 or 7 weeks ago, I think I'm like mad for Palace. That was before they decided to take the foot off the gas for the rest of the season, apart from in the FA Cup. And they haven't won in 8 games, I think, hardly scored in that time. And I don't think the inclusion of Adebayor in their squad is going to make them any more potent a threat up front. But, you know, West Brom is such a beatable side. They went out of the FA Cup with a whimper last week against Reading. I just can't see. I would pay to avoid this game, never mind pay to watch it. I can see it being 0-0. Under 1.5 goals looks an absolute gift.
0-0 is 13-2 in the betting. If you are having a look at the under 1.5 goals in the match, that's 13-8. So the compiler's pretty much all over that, 13-8 under 1.5.
Can I ask you a question? You'll probably know, in midweek Barcelona played Arsenal. Barcelona, yep. Best team in the world, aren't they? You've got to say that they are. What price would the best team in the world to keep a clean sheet at Arsenal on Tuesday or Wednesday, whenever it was?
Arsenal were expected to score in that game, weren't they? So 5-4, 6-4,
2-1.
Were they really?
2-1. I thought this is the best team in the world. 2-1 to keep a clean sheet against Arsenal, who've hardly scored in recent weeks. What a bet! I know they went close on a couple of occasions, but still, what a bet!
Is that your Champions League podcast edition? That.
Yes. Well, there you go. I'm great at hindsight, aren't I?
I hope you've backed it, Derek.
We should after timers podcast. I know there are a certain chunk of people who only listen to this podcast after the games have been played.
Yeah,
just to have a laugh.
Yeah, that's just definitely just to have a laugh. That's not to see how many winning bets we put up in the week, is it?
Must be infuriating listening to me and thinking, God, I could have backed that. Could back that one as well.
Just to elaborate on the assertion that this could finish 0-0, as Derek mentioned, Palace, in terms of goal scoring form, they've got just 4 in 9 in the league, not 1 in 9 in the league either. And West Brom have had the fewest shots on target in the Premier League this season. It must be low scoring, surely, Lee.
Yeah, but maybe, yeah. I made a little note in my betting notebook. The last round of the
FA Cup. That doesn't exist, listeners.
That's right, it doesn't exist. When they beat Tottenham, and I know Tottenham have got a lot on their plate at the moment, but still, you know, they've still gone there and beaten Tottenham. Bolasie came on for the last 5-10 minutes, and we've been saying all season long while he's been injured, Bolasie's the big miss for them. Bolasie's the main man. Derek's been spot on about that. Since he's been gone, their form has dipped. Now, I don't know if he's match fit enough yet to have a real impact or to start this game. But if he does, I think Palace are worth looking at here because of what you said about West Brom's inability to score goals. You know, they're not high scorers. The only time, you know, they scored 2 against Peterborough and 2 against Bristol City. You know, let's just go to the Premier League. You know, they scored 2 against Stoke. They haven't scored more than 1 goal at home in any of the last 6 games apart from that Stoke game. I think that was a last-minute winner anyway. I think it was Johnny Evans got the one in a dying minute, so that looked altogether like a 1-1 draw. I think Palace can win here. I think 19-10 is a little bit of value. It's just how they do it. I tend to agree with you guys that it'll be low-scoring, and maybe he's kind of going back to basics a little bit, and that clean sheet, you know, against Tottenham might have just given them a bit more encouragement to be defensively solid first of all, and if they are defensively solid against West Brom and look to do what they did earlier in the season and hit them on the counter, I can't see West Brom, you know, barring some sort of worldie or some sort of fantastic free kick, I can't see West Brom having the wherewithal to break them down if Palace go organised and defensive. So I'm looking at Palace to win this and under 2.5 goals. Palace to win it at 19-10 is good enough for me, to be honest with you. I don't really rate West Brom. Difficult to predict anything in this Premier League this season, but the Palace win under 2.5 is 100-30.
On to Manchester United versus Arsenal, which is the 2:05 start time on Sunday afternoon. This one's televised as well. Manchester United 11-5 to win the game. The draw is 11-5 as well, and Arsenal 13-10. Enhanced odds: Anthony Martial to score and Manchester United to win is 5-1 if he overcomes the injury he sustained in the warm-up before the Midtjylland match. And Alexis Sanchez to score and Arsenal to win in the betting at 5-1 as well. A huge game, this one, Lee, and could have a significant bearing on the Premier League title race. And even though Arsenal were beaten by, as Derek said, the best team in the world on Tuesday night, I wonder whether Arsene Wenger's public criticism of his team's naivety in that match could have an adverse effect when they travel to Manchester United on Sunday. It's one of the only times I can remember him publicly coming out and criticising his players.
Yeah, because I think he thinks he had the formula to take on Barcelona, and that's how we were talking about.
Definitely.
In the office. I think he was looking for a 0-0. A 1-0 obviously would be a fantastic result for Arsenal, but I think he would have been happy with a 0-0 going to Barcelona, meaning that if they could nick a goal, suddenly Barcelona are under pressure.
They went chasing that 1-0, though. That was the problem.
Yeah, so, but you know, Arsenal can't do that. That's the problem. And that's what he's got with his team. You can't have an ethos for your entire management career of attacking football and then tell your players to go out and, you know, park the bus. Doesn't work. You know, that's not what Arsenal do, and that's not what Wenger does with his teams. I think they'll probably revert back to type here and just go back to what they know, which is, you know, being open, attractive, decent team. Man United have had two good results. I mean, you know, before Monday night, people are talking about Van Gaal being gone by the end of this week. Now, as it happens, they've scored 8 goals against 2 inferior teams, and, you know, there might be a little bit of rosiness going into this, I guess. I don't think they're good enough to beat Arsenal if Arsenal are on song. This is massive for Arsenal. 10 points clear of Man United. They win this, this could catapult them towards the title, because it'll give them that confidence they need. They haven't got a good record at Man U, have they? So, you know, I think going there, I mean, winning, putting one of those little kind of hoodoos to bed, if you like, will really help them. I think there'll be goals. I don't see how, I know Man United's home record in the Premier League is generally low on the goals. Although, having said that, you know, 3 goals in the Swansea game, 3 goals in the Stoke game, didn't get anything, no goals in the Chelsea and only 1 in the Southampton match. But Arsenal, I think, can outscore Man United here, and I think they'll have to go for it. I think it's not a game where you can just settle for a draw and think, yeah, we'll take a point off Man United, because they're not a danger team. I think you need to go and beat Manchester United here. Over 2.5 goals in the match is 5-4. I like that. I know it's a bit of a boring bet to put up, but I think there will be 3 goals or more in the match, so I'll happily go with that. And you look at some of the prices for the away goal scorers, by the way. Giroud 9-5, Sanchez 11-5, Walcott 14-5, Ramsey has been playing better and better, 17-5. He might have picked up a little bit of a knock against Barcelona. So you have to
he was poor against Barcelona, yeah, as well. Didn't play well in that match. I know it's Barcelona.
Ozil 19-5. So there's a lot of value around Arsenal. It's like they don't expect it to be a high scorer. Sanchez 11-5 for me, if you want a slightly bigger price. I like that.
Just to pick up on one bet that you missed there as well, Arsenal to win and both teams to score in the game is 9-2.
That's a big price.
I think that is a massive price in this match.
I just don't trust Arsenal enough, I think, but that's the bet I would go for. If I trusted Arsenal, I'd go for that bet.
And Manchester United are injury hit as well, Derek. That's something that we've not mentioned. That team they fielded against Midtjylland, some unrecognisable names in that lineup. I know Marcus Rashford got a couple of goals in that game, but in the first half they were all at sea, really. And one of my friends, who's a Manchester United fan who went to the game, texted me to say it was Benny Hill football in that first half.
Yeah, I mean, they did look poor. I mean, they've looked poor for most of the season. And, you know, isn't it funny, by the way, just as an aside, that, you know, Manchester City, everybody, all the Man City fans were bleating out unfair it was, they're playing on Sunday and then they're going to play on Wednesday again against Dynamo Kiev, so they field all the kids. And then, yeah, this is Man United's 3rd game in 6 days, and there hasn't been any bleating from Old Trafford, unusually. I can't, there's nothing that Man United have done this season that makes me think that they can beat Arsenal on Sunday. They're the same price, 11-5, as it is for a draw, and I, in my eyes, the best they could hope for is a draw. I just honestly don't think they're good enough, and I don't even think, even if they have a good day, they're good enough. Just the quality is just not there for United. Arsenal played pretty well against Barcelona. I have to say, I was impressed. They had 1 or 2 chances. I always thought Barcelona had plenty, could raise a gear. I never thought the result was in any doubt. But Arsenal performed better than I thought they would do. I think 13-10 is a reasonable price here. If it's a bit sure to go to Old Trafford and win 13-10, if it's a bit sure for some punters liking what you said there, Dave, both teams to score and Arsenal to win 9-2, I can see that happening.
One problem I think United have got here is that, you know, you line up against Olivier Giroud, fine, you know, being horny is going to be no problem at all. Line up against Mesut Ozil. How do you get horny against Mesut Ozil? That's a difficult one, isn't it? I'm not sure I'd be able to raise it for Ozil. Giroud, great. If he's in the team, I think Man United win.
Happy with that. Yeah. Happy with that.
That was a great little clip, wasn't it?
Oh.
So funny. Yes, I say horny to my players all the time. Everyone's like, Juan Mata's like moving away from him really slowly. Like, I don't know who this guy is.
If he's not there next season, he's provided us with a few moments, hasn't he, Louis van Gaal, in his tenure at Manchester United. Yeah. 11-5 they are to win this game. The draw 11-5 Arsenal.
Lee's definitely got a man crush on Giroud, hasn't he? It's about the third time he's gone about Giroud this season.
He's a good looking guy.
He's stepping up in the world because it was Stephen Naismith, wasn't it, last year?
The no manager has mentioned or expressed horniness in football since Don Revie. Do you remember them clips when Don Revie used to massage his players with loads of soap? They were weird clips, weren't they?
Anthony Martial to score, Manchester United to win, an enhanced odds offer there, 5-1. Sanchez to score, Arsenal to win, also enhanced odds at 5-1. Let's get stuck into the non-televised matches this weekend. And we'll start with Leicester City versus Norwich. Leicester 1-2 to win this game. The draw in the market at 16-5 and Norwich 11-2. Enhanced odds, Jamie Vardy to score and Leicester to win in the betting at 6-4. And Stephen Naismith to score and Norwich to win is a big 14-1. Here's one for you, Derek. Leicester have conceded just 3 goals in their last 8 Premier League matches at the King Power, and they've gone 6 hours and 13 minutes since they last conceded at home at Leicester
Quite
City.
Quite amazing, that, isn't it? That is an amazing stat.
Championship form, isn't it?
Well, also an amazing stat is the 4-7 top of the league at home to Norwich. I mean, if that was Arsenal, they'd be like, what, 1-5? It looks a gift, doesn't it? It does look a gift. The only worry I've got about this is, you know, that result against Arsenal and the manner in which it happened, has that deflated them? Have they got over that? I suspect that they probably have.
They've had 2 weeks, haven't they?
But they buggered off abroad somewhere for some warm weather training. I'm sure they'll come back absolutely flying.
They went to Derby. Just around the corner. Tad warmer.
That's probably where Norwich went, wasn't it? Yeah, they went for warm weather training anyway. I can see this being a cakewalk for Leicester, you know. I mean, Norwich will probably score because that's what they did. They scored 30 goals this season, which ain't bad for a team languishing at the bottom. But 50 goals conceded. Again, like Sunderland, it's 2 goals a game almost, and Leicester are flying at home. I'm, you know what? I think over 2.5 goals is what... Hang on, I'm just looking, going through here. Both teams to score, by the way, is 4-5.
7-10 it is, Derek, over 2.5.
Well, what is it? Not quite good enough there. I was looking for a bit more than that. You know what I might do? I might go for Leicester on the handicap here, because I can actually see this being a cakewalk. I'm going for Leicester minus 2 goals at 18-5.
Wow, Leicester minus 2, 18-5. Leicester minus 1, by the way, is 11-8. Another good stat ahead of this game. Riyad Mahrez and Jamie Vardy have got 33 goals between them in the Premier League season. That's more than the whole of the Norwich team. Mm. They've only scored 30, Norwich. Yeah. If they have got over that loss against Arsenal, I can see them walloping Norwich here.
Yeah, I see where Derek's going. I mean, you know, Tottenham scored 3, Stoke scored 3, Bournemouth scored 3, all at home to Norwich. Villa even got 2, you know, at home to Norwich. So they did beat Manchester United, of course, 2-1. But you know, Newcastle put 6 past them at home. Southampton put 3 past them. There's a long list of teams who have put Norwich to the sword, so I can see kind of where Derek's going with that. Vardy scored in the reverse fixture when Leicester went there and won 2-1. There's nothing. I've been looking, you know, for signs of distress. I don't see any. You know, I'm thinking, well, would they normally go away for warm weather training? Would that affect that? You know, would it make them think, oh, we're, you know, Billy Big, you know what's or not? No, I don't think it will. I think they'll just come back to the Premier League and get on with it, as they have done. Ranieri's obviously been saying, you know, he said it was great to give the week off, and they've gone away. There's been no, you know, bad news from the trip or anything like that. So, you know, what do you need? There's no reason to doubt them against Norwich of all teams. I'm going to go for the... I don't think Norwich will get a goal. I think Derek could be onto something with that minus 2. I think it's a little ambitious, though. So I'll go for the Leicester win and over 2.5 goals here. It's only 6-5, but I think that'll land, just in case Norwich do sneak one. I'm not sure they will, but I think Vardy to score as well is a decent bet. Vardy to score at any time is even money.
Vardy to score and Leicester to win, of course, one of the enhanced odds offers there at 6-4. Same price for Leicester to win to nil as well, 6-4. Leicester to win to nil in this game. Southampton versus Chelsea next. Southampton are 9-5 to win the game. The draw 2-1, and Chelsea 17-10. Enhanced odds: Charlie Austin to score and Southampton to win, 5-1. Diego Costa to score and Chelsea to win in the betting at 4-1. One of the tougher games on the coupon this weekend, Lee. Two informed teams here. Chelsea unbeaten in the last 10 in the Premier League, although they have drawn 6 of those. Southampton have won 5 of their last 6 and not conceded a goal in the last 6 games either.
Yeah, it's an intriguing one, this, isn't it? Because, you know, when the way Gus Hiddink has openly talked about how important, you know, the FA Cup and the Champions League are to them, and not so much the Premier League, that rings alarm bells to me a little bit. But then he's also protecting this record of only ever having lost one match as Chelsea manager. I don't think he'd want to, you know, chuck that away easily. They've got into this good form at the minute, Chelsea. Obviously, you know, the defeat to PSG wasn't great, but it's not the end of the world. You know, they've got an away goal, so that tie is far from over. Around that, they put 5 past Newcastle. Obviously, put 5 past Man City. So, you know, suddenly they've got some some confidence about them. But then Southampton, like you say, are on this nice run. Those clean sheets in the Premier League at home, they're racking up again, aren't they? You know, since the rot stopped, those 4 straight wins, 4-0, 2-0, 3-0, 1-0 against Arsenal, Watford, West Brom and West Ham, all at St Mary's. I'm struggling a little bit, if I'm being honest with you. I can see the draw here. I just don't know if Chelsea will really, really go for it. Having said that, they haven't got anything much in between. They've got the away game against Norwich, haven't they? That follows this one, which is on Tuesday night. I think because of what's happened with Chelsea, I still can't trust them. But look at the prices. I think, hang on a minute, if this is Chelsea back to near their best, they shouldn't be 17-10 to win at Southampton. I'm going to go for Chelsea. I fancy the draw, but I'm going to go for Chelsea. I find it a puzzling game. I looked at the +1 because I thought I like both those results, 2-5. So yeah, I'll go Chelsea. Trust them.
17-10 Chelsea for Lee. I suppose the question, Derek, here is whether that Chelsea team have improved enough to break down this Southampton defence, because there have certainly been more impressive performances from some of those leading lights that didn't feature when Jose Mourinho was at the club.
Well, firstly, the Southampton defence. You mean the Southampton team that have lost at home to Everton? They've lost at home to Man United?
They are the best club in the league, though, Derek.
Well, lost at home to Man United, who definitely aren't.
No.
They've lost at home to Stoke. They've lost at home to Liverpool, of course. That's 6-1. They only drew at home to Aston Villa. Lost at home to Tottenham. This is all, like, you know, towards the end of last year, early this year. I think Chelsea are real good things here. People go on about Southampton's great run recently and the fact they haven't conceded, but who have they been playing?
Arsenal.
2-0 at home to Watford. They only drew at Arsenal, 0-0. You know, I mean, that wasn't a
beat them 4, didn't they?
Well, that was before that. That was way before this run. They'd lost it after that one. They lost 2-1 at West Ham and also lost 1-0 at Norwich. You know, I'm not having them. I think Chelsea, the form they're in now, this is the proper Chelsea's back. Hazard's playing. Even Costa's raising a gallop. I'm all over Chelsea here. The correct reservation is are all their guns in the FA Cup and Champions League baskets. But come on, they owe it to their fans. I know they're away, but they still owe it to their fans to do something in the league, because where they are at the moment, it just ain't good enough. I think Chelsea are good things here.
Costa's been playing really well under Hiddink, hasn't he? I think I was just trying to remember.
I think he's got 7 and 8. Costa.
I think under Hiddink, I think he's into double figures, actually.
You're trying to wind me up here?
Yeah. No, not at all. But I think, you know, it just shows that under the right kind of management, whatever you think of him, you know, he is a goal scorer. He's someone who will get on the end of, you know, the quality that the team possess. There's obviously something up with him, you know, under Mourinho, that's fair to say.
There's some really attractive enhanced odds offers here, and Diego Costa to score and Chelsea to win. If you do like Chelsea to win this game, that's in the market 4-1 as well. By the way, Derek, good to have you back opposing Southampton again. It's good to have you back.
Well,
I was concerned when you were siding with Lee earlier.
Well, we had Mark on, didn't we, a couple of weeks ago, the article pilot, and he's a major Southampton fan. I don't mean he follows Southampton, but he really rates them, and that explains why your prices are always so low about Southampton, like today.
It was a good podcast, that. It was a few weeks ago, but it was good to listen to. And like while I was listening, I was thinking, God, like, it's great having like a professional on. His results were probably about as bad as ours.
Yeah.
his betting, I mean, were terrible. As long as he makes money for the company, I don't think he cares that much.
And you remember that 10-1, Derek, that was wrong, that Harry Kane to score and Tottenham to win? We never mentioned that, did we?
That's
10-1.
Right, yeah.
He cut it to sixes, didn't they?
Cut it to sixes, yeah.
That's the sort of value you're getting on this podcast, listeners.
Yeah.
He got embarrassed though when we were he went red when we were talking about that price because he knew it was a wrong price.
Really?
Did he really? Yeah.
Knew they'd put out a rick there and quickly went upstairs and changed it. Diego Costa to score and Chelsea to win 4-1. So both
I'm surprised you didn't just like have the headphones going like this.
Just
door open. Gone. Mark's just snipped out for a second.
Both on Chelsea then here, chaps.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll go with him. Yeah, I do like the draw as well.
You can't have two.
I'll go Chelsea.
Stoke versus Aston Villa is next. 7-10 Stoke to win the game. The draw 23-10 and Aston Villa 5-1. Enhanced odds. Jordan Shaqiri to score and Stoke. I'll get there quickly, Derek. Stoke City to win 4-1. Gabby Agbonlahor to score and Aston Villa to win 12-1.
Have I gone mad here? 7-10 Stoke. It looks like the best of all time, doesn't it?
I love that. It's the bet of all time.
They have been well backed. They've been cut.
Well, 5-1 Aston Villa. Who on earth would back Aston Villa in a 5-1 in this game? I mean, I know. Forget all my 3-1 poke. 3-1 away from home, etc., etc. Because that applies only to proper Premier League teams. Aston Villa obviously aren't that. They're a side that could well struggle in the Championship next season. 5-1 is the worst price ever. How can Stoke not win this? How can they not win this game?
Aston Villa did look... That might be the worst ever Premier League performance, that one against Liverpool a couple of weeks ago, Derek. That was just embarrassing, wasn't it?
Well, you'd like to say that bounce back, because that's what Premier League teams do, but I'm not sure they're capable of it. They went through a little run, maybe a couple of draws and a win, and you thought, there might be something there. But since then, they've looked every inch as bad as they did before that good run, and that was pretty crap. I can't believe it's nearly even money that Stoke to beat Aston Villa at the Britannia. It's giving money away. I don't know what you're doing. Not you or Lee.
we never know.
That
what
is
we're
still
doing.
Fair comment, Derek. I don't think you needed to qualify that, to be honest.
Not only do I don't know what you're doing, I don't know what I'm doing.
7-10 Stoke City for Derek. Mr. Phelps.
Hard to disagree with it, isn't it? They've had a bit of a stinky run, haven't they, of late, until they went to Bournemouth and suddenly looked, back to where they were. I mean, before that, they just couldn't score a goal, could they? They beat Norwich 3-1. Then they, this is Stoke I'm talking about, then they had the 0-0 draw with Arsenal. No real shame there. Were beaten 3-0 by Leicester away, 3-0 by United away, lost 3-0 at home to Everton, and then suddenly found the feet again. And I think they'll kick on from there. I think they're, That win will have been a massive tonic for them, before going into the break for the FA Cup. And I think, Mark Hughes, you'd imagine, would have got them, back up and confident again. Villa in previous seasons have got some good results, and I think they've won two out of the last three at Stoke. But this, as Derek says, this is a shocking team and a team who are bereft of confidence. 16 points, they're 7 points adrift of Sunderland at the moment. I mean, obviously they're down, worst goal difference in the division. Don't score enough goals away from home. So there's nowhere where you can make a case for them. They've scored 10 goals away from home in 13 matches, conceding 26, which isn't the worst in the Premier League in terms of away defences, but it's right up there. The worry, I guess, would be, does Stoke score enough, to trounce them? And I'm wondering if that's where the traders are wondering, does the draw come into this, if Villa can go there and try and get something out of the game in terms of a 0-0 or a 1-1 draw? Stoke have scored 13 goals in 12 games. So I'm going to go for the Stoke win, but I'm going to go for the Stoke win and under 2.5 here, just to push it above that even money mark. It's actually 21-10. I think it's a nice difference in price from 7-10.
Well above even money.
So I like that. It gives you a 1-0 or 2-0 win, just in case Villa try this time.
Stoke City win and under 2.5 goals, 21-10. On to Watford versus Bournemouth. Watford 7-5 to win this game. The draw is 21-10. Bournemouth 21-10 as well. Enhanced odds, Troy Deeney to score and Watford to win is 4-1. Benik Afobe to score and Bournemouth to win in the betting at 6-1. This is the 100th league meeting between the two sides, and they've both won 35 apiece. So it's as tight as it
gets. How many have they drawn?
29. I put me on the spot there at the maths. I didn't know what to make of this one from a betting perspective, Lee. It's one of those games where I don't want to say you wouldn't have a bet in it, because that would be very un-William Hill-like.
I have a bet on games that are going on the pitch on a Sunday. I mean, actually, you look at the form lines and both are in decent nick, aren't they? Watford have won three out of the last four at home. The draw was against Chelsea. Admittedly, one of those was against Leeds United from the Championship. But beat Newcastle in quick succession in the FA Cup and then in the Premier League at home. Bournemouth, though, look at their away form recently. Again, there's a few FA Cup games thrown in there, but beat Palace 2-1 away, drew at Sunderland, drew at Leicester, beat West Brom, beat Chelsea, drew at Swansea. The only defeat away from home in the last nine was at the Emirates when they lost 2-0. So nothing to be upset about there. I think they're going away and they're setting up for draws. And they're thinking, if we can just keep ticking over, getting a draw here and there, they're on 28 points now. I think they know they have to edge towards that 37-point mark. Interestingly, Watford with a win or a draw will get to that 37-point mark here. I think a low scorer. Personally, that's what I've come down on. Watford's goals have dried up a little bit again, like they did at the start of the season. They're not scoring goals in abundance anymore.
Igalo stopped scoring, hasn't he?
And that seems to be the big problem, doesn't it? So you're relying a little bit on just on Troy Deeney. So I'm going to go for the unders and the goals. It's just in one that I can't quite predict. And I don't think the traders really know. 7-5, 21-10, 21-10 just always smacks of, right, yeah, just take your pick. We'll see what you go for. So the under 2.5 here is 13-20. But as usual, the under 1.5 still stays around that 2-1 mark. So under 1.5 goals at 2-1 for me. Don't know the win.
That's the one. You've taken the words right out of my gob. 2-1, that looks a very good bet. I mean, I'd fancy Watford to win this, were it not for the fact that, look where they are in mid-table, comfortable, and they've got, the FA Cup. If I was a Watford player, I'd be looking at that. That's, in a quarter-final of the FA Cup with not much to beat, really. They were away at Arsenal, probably in the next round of Arsenal, get back past Hull, but they might not get past Hull. And what an opportunity that will open up for Watford. I watched Bournemouth against Everton in the Cup last week, and I fancied Everton for my life. And until that penalty, when the penalty was missed, a breath of a sigh of relief. But I never really thought Everton were in too much danger. I was a bit disappointed in Bournemouth, to be honest. I don't think they're that great a side. I know Leeds reeled off a few results, and they look impressive on paper, but I can't see it, really. I can see Watford winning this, but I'll play safer and go with the under 1.5 goals at 2-1.
The head-to-heads would suggest that we'll just get chinned with that bet, because there's been two goals in each of the last five head-to-heads, and they've played each other a lot, obviously, in the Championship recently. So, and it was 1-1 at Bournemouth early in the season. We might just get chinned on the under 2.5 is probably 13-20 for a reason.
Mm. On to the final game we're going to preview on the podcast, Tottenham versus Swansea, which is not televised, but it's on Sunday at 2:05. Tottenham 4-9 to win the game. The draw 16-5. Swansea in the betting at 13-2. Enhanced odds, Harry Kane to score and Tottenham to win is 6-4. And Alberto Palocci to score and Swansea to win at 16-1. One interesting statistic in the lead up to this game, this comes from Opta. Spurs have had the most shots on target this season and faced the fewest. So it's a little surprise they're in the mix for the title this year. I came past Fiorentina comfortably on Thursday night in the Europa League, Derek, and they'll fancy getting all 3 points here and winning this comprehensively.
Yeah, well, all of a sudden, Tottenham this season have become a team that you don't mind backing their odds on, and you'd never have said that about Tottenham teams in recent years. I've been trying to work out about Tottenham. I haven't been able to work them out. I mean, they're very impressive, and Pochettino is doing a marvellous job, because looking at the squad of players they've got, I don't think they should be where they are, flying in virtually every competition they're in. But I've decided they are, in fact, the latter-day Nottingham Forest. Forest under Cloughy. The trophies they won for a squad that lacked stardust. Well, that's certainly the same in my eyes, but they've just got a manager who knows how he wants his team to play, and they're not making any mistakes. And I think 4-9 to beat a rank ordinary Swansea side is a fair bet. It's not a kind of price I would normally play at, particularly where Tottenham are concerned. So I might well go for Tottenham to win 2-0 because Swansea, in my eyes, just don't score enough goals. 24 goals in 26 games, fewer than one a game, and they played an awful lot easier oppositions than the opponents rather than Tottenham. So Tottenham to win 2-0. I'm guessing must be around about 11 to 10 mark.
Yeah, it's just a shade bigger than that. 23-20 it is, Tottenham to win 2-0.
Yeah, I like the look of that.
Mr. Phelps?
Yeah, interesting one. Just before we get into the game, just a quick question for both of you, just involving the top of the Premier League.
Yeah.
Who do you think will be in the top two? Who will be the top two at the end of the season?
Tottenham first, Man City second.
I still think Manchester City win the title. I'm going Manchester City first, with Tottenham second.
So you both think Man City, Tottenham will be the top two?
Yeah.
Yes.
9-1 for the dual forecast.
Oh,
is it really?
That's a big price.
9-1. These are all, and I've just spotted these as we've been chatting. Not that I wasn't paying attention. But, I mean, Tottenham to win the title, City second is 16-1. City to win the title and Tottenham second, 20-1.
And 9-1 on either way around. I like that.
That's a big price.
Yeah, I
was really surprised. I mean, Arsenal-Tottenham is 2-1 favourite dual forecast. Arsenal-Leicester 13-5. Leicester-Tottenham 9-2. See, what got me looking at this was I think City will figure. I think City will come good in the end. And I think Tottenham and Leicester might just drift off a little bit. But so Man City-Arsenal, which is the one I thought, 11-2. Man City-Tottenham 9-1. Leicester-Man City 11-1. That's under the Premier League. Just hit Premier League, where all the outrights are, dual forecast and straight forecast.
Yeah, so I'll have a look at that. That's a bet to be had there.
As for this game, I've got a reservation, and that's the Europa League. When you look back at Tottenham's season, the Europa League, the game after the Europa League is one that they can struggle in. Albeit they beat Palace after coming back from a home game against Carabag. Coming back from France, they drew with Swansea 2-2 away from home. Coming back from an away game against Anderlecht, they smashed Bournemouth to bits. So that, you think, well, they can do that.
They've started resting a few players in the Europa League. The squad's bigger than it has been in previous seasons.
And they're at home as well, which is a big thing. I mean, they beat Anderlecht at home, drew with Arsenal. You know, they went to Carabag and won, and then drew with Chelsea. So it doesn't always work. Did lose to Newcastle, lost to Palace, of course, last weekend, but they may well have had, their eyes off the FA Cup. So I'm not going to go mad here, is the point I'm making. I'm not going to go mad and think that they're going to, destroy Swansea. We're told that Kane will be fit to make his comeback. I'm presuming he'll have one of their masks on after he's broken. Everyone's got a mask on these days, haven't they? With that broken nose that he's suffered. I'll just go for... I think Tottenham might win 1-0 or 2-0 here and just do a job on Swansea. But Harry Kane to score and Tottenham to win 6-4 looks a decent one. He's even money to score at any time, which I like. I like that Costa and Aguero... Wall score. No, there was another even money one.
Jamie Vardy.
Yeah. Vardy, Kane, Costa, Aguero.
All to score this weekend.
I'm
thinking about fitting you with a mask, by the way, Lee.
I don't know if you saw the picture of on the podcast last week, but it was Costa in his mask. It was a scary sight. scary
Hannibal Lecter. Naps then.
Oh, geez, we've got to pick a nap.
Chaps. Derek, do you want to lead us off?
Mm.
I think there's a few I like this week. So
interesting.
Well, you see, when I go for a nap, I like to go for decent prices, but I just can't get past Stoke at 7-10. I think that's absolutely nailed on. I really do.
Do you want to shove that in then, Derek?
That's too short for me, that, isn't it?
Yeah, you usually do go for something odds against.
It's a bit juicier.
You can't take the mickey out of Lee if you go for an odds
right
on shot.
You're right. God. I'll go for Man City then. What were you going to go for that, Lee?
I was going to go for Aguero, but it's fine.
No, go on. I'll go for Stoke then. That's just giving money away. Stoke 7-10.
Okay, Stoke 7-10.
You're in a position, Derek, where you can...
I can do that,
I think you've got enough of a lead, despite all my great naps
recently. Protecting the lead.
You're allowed a 7-10 now and again.
Good.
Lee?
Aguero to score any time in the League Cup final.
5-4. I'm going to have to boost this up then this week because...
well, we're all right. What was our first treble? Was it about 28-1 or something like that?
Yeah,
14-1. So we're back in credit, I think.
31, wasn't it, the first treble?
We can't lose now. We're in profit for the season now.
I think maybe. Yeah, maybe.
You know what? I'm going to go for the one that I think's the most overpriced this week, and that's Arsenal to win and both teams to score.
That's a nice bet.
At 9-2, which I really like. Mm. So Stoke City, 7-10 for Derek. Lee going with Sergio Aguero to score at any time. That is just 90 minutes, Lee. If it goes into extra time and he scores, don't claim it. 5-4. And Arsenal to win at Manchester United, but both teams to score in the match. 9-2. Mm. Just over 20-1, 20.03-1. That treble this weekend.
My next best would have been West Ham to win and both teams to score. You just reminded me of that, but right. I'll just throw that out there. 3-1.
Thank you for your company, Derek.
Cheers, lads.
Thank you, Lee.
Cheers.
Thanks, everyone, for listening. Remember, you can follow us all on Twitter, at D Kellner, at Lee Phelps, at BetLikeAPro, and make sure you download this podcast either via iTunes by typing in William Hill, and check out all our podcasts available at audioboom.com. Again, type in at William Hill, and myself, Lee and Derek, we'll be back next weekend.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.